us today. We have any first-time visitors here today? Okay, so we're home folks, right? It's good to see home folks, too. It is so good to be here. It's so good to have you here. I just want to share just a quick message. This is not too deep. I don't do deep. I do simple. Simple works best for me. Some time back, a few weeks ago, I was watching the news, and they were telling all the stories of the hurricanes that were taking place in Texas and Florida. One story just jumped out to me. This man was there. Everything that he had been utterly destroyed. Him and his grandson were standing there. They were looking over the remains of their home. Their home was destroyed. Their automobile destroyed. All their belongings in their house destroyed. I don't know what all was involved there, but I'm sure that throughout the course of your life, you've collected a lot of memorable things. I don't know, maybe perhaps his father's pocket watch or things of great value to him. And everything was destroyed. And through the despair of it all, they were walking away. And the grandson looked up at his grandfather. He said, "What do you think, Grandpa?" His response was, "God is good. God is good." What I want to share with you today, this simple thought, is things that happen outside of our control. We have no ability to control them. They sideline us. We're going through life. We make our plans. But somehow, our plans get interrupted. And things that we never count on happen to us. We have no choice in those matters. But the choice that we do have is how we respond to those things. That's the only thing that we can control. I don't know what's going on in your workplace, but there's a good possibility that on occasions, people sit in a room, they sit around a desk, and they make plans about your future that you have no say-so in. You know? You sit into a doctor's office, and you got plans this summer that you're going to do all these wonderful things, and the doctor pulls up his stool, he opens his chart, and he looks you in the eye, and he tells you something that you was not expecting at all. Utterly destroys your plans. Things happen in life, and we have no control over those things. But we do have control, and we make choices on how we respond to those things. That's Michelle and I must have been on the same wavelengths this week. Because I sit and I watch the same news that everybody else watches. And I just somehow, the empathy in me that I put myself in the place of these people that tragic things happen to, and I have been a blessed soul in my life. God has blessed me so much. And a lot of times we lose sense of that. I think one of the key to happiness is gratefulness. Whenever we can look past the tragedy and look past the disruptions in life, look past all the things that go wrong, and we find the good in those things and being grateful of those. We're getting ready to embark upon this holiday that we call Thanksgiving. And I think it's wonderful that we've set a day aside and we pause, we climb off the corporate ladders and we put away all the junk and all the hoopla and we just focus on how grateful we are and what a blessed people we are. I think it's great that we do that, but on the flip side of the coin, friend, I think that it's sad that we have to somehow designate a day in our lives that we have to pause and look at all the good things. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. Yeah. Should be a day of gratefulness. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, if you would, I want to share with you something. There it comes. This is about a fellow you probably heard of. His name's David. The situation with David is a very unique situation. God has anointed him king of Israel. What a powerful thing. David, you're going to be king of Israel. You've been anointed that. The only problem is that there's already a king of Israel. And this guy just wasn't on board with God's plan right away. So what happens is David is, in essence, kind of an outlaw. Saul is out to kill David, obviously. He's jealous. And so David has a group of people that support him. The Bible refers to them as mighty men, fierce warriors. And they're with David. And so what happens is David has to hide. He moves around with him and his army, his mighty men. And they live in caves for a time. They live in different places. So as this story unfolds, they're at a city called Ziklag. And so let's watch what happens here. A little bit more of the backdrop. How David and his men, how that they support themselves is that they kind of ride range for that area, and they protect the people, the inhabitants of that area. And so in turn, the inhabitants of that area provide them with resources that they need. They provide them with food and with clothing, with other things. And so that's how the community works. And so in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, we read this. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now that's where David and his guys are at. They're at this city called Ziklag. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. You following this? Then David and his people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until there was no more power to weep. Have you ever been there? I can't imagine how this unfolded. In my head, I see these guys riding range, coming up over the hilltop on their horses. David and his men. Some people speculate that there was as many as maybe 600 men, but it wasn't just a small group. And off in the distance, as they crested the hilltop, perhaps there was smoke coming from their city, Ziklag. They look at each other, and then they realize what has taken place. And when they arrive there, they walk among the ashes, and they find that their families are gone. The Amalekites had come in while they were gone and had stolen all their belongings and had kidnapped their women and their children. Devastating. And the Bible says that they wept till there was no more power to weep. I don't know about your life, but have you ever gone through something that's so traumatic, so remorseful, so deep that you felt like you have cried all that you can cry? There's not a tear left in me, Lord. I have just exhausted everything within me. That's where these guys were at. It goes on and it mentions about David's two wives were taken captive as well. In verse 6, it says this, "And David was greatly distressed." Look what happens. "For the people spoke of stoning him because of the souls of the people were grieved." David's mighty men have come to a place, we're going to blame leadership. It's his fault. I don't know how this happened. I can only surmise, and we can only use our imaginations. But it starts with a little small grumbling. One or two guys probably said, "You know what? I told David that we needed to be at home during this time. I told if he would have listened to me, or if he wouldn't have done that." But they followed David. David is the leader. So when things go wrong, we blame leaders. These guys were fiercely loyal to David. If we would take time and read, they laid down their lives for David. But at this point in time, they're ready to kill David. Powerful. They were so deeply grieved, so hurt, so angry, so frustrated. Somebody's got to pay the price for this. It's the leader. We'll get the leader. And so what does David do? I love David's response to this. All this happened outside of his control. Devastating thing. But I think we see something about the character of David. Look at the very last verse there in verse 6. "And David was deeply distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the souls of the people were grieved, every man to his sons and his daughters." But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's a powerful little verse right there. David encouraged himself. There's going to come times in your life you're going to go through traumatic things. is going to happen to us. The Bible tells us that. In this life, you will have troubles. You're not going to get through this life unscathed, friend. You're going to deal with heartache. You're going to deal with loss. You're going to deal with rejections, disappointments. It's just part of the human experience. And as much as this church would just love to be there to support you and to comfort you and to encourage you, and we certainly want to do that, there's going to be times when you're going to have to encourage yourself. You're going to have to find that, you're going to have to tap into that same resource that David tapped into. The Bible says that David encouraged himself. There's going to be times, friend, when you're going to have to give yourself a little pep talk. You're going to have to look in the mirror and you're going to say, listen, you're a child of the Most High God. Amen. He sacrificed heaven for you. And no matter what comes, you're going to make it through. Because your trust is not in your ability. Your trust is in Him. He holds it all in the palm of His hand. Every breath that we take is a gift by Him. It's all by Him. You're going to have to do those little talks to yourself. And understand this. David encouraged himself. Friend, you're going to have to encourage yourself. That is a decision, a choice that you're going to have to make. We can't, every time a little problem arises, I can't just hop on the phone and start calling somebody. There's going to be times in my life, I'm going to be totally honest with you, that's part of who we are. There are times, as I'm driving to my work, I have to give myself a little pep talk. As I'm walking up the walkway, I walk past George sometimes. He looks a lot happier leaving than I look going in. I'll tell you that right now. But there are times, George, as I'm walking up that walkway, I'm giving myself a little pep talk. Listen, when I walk into this building, I am a representative of the King of Kings. And I'm going to have to conduct myself like that. I'm going to have to be, tonight, Lord, whatever happens, whatever breaks, and something's always broke, when something breaks, I can't lose my cool tonight. I've got to put it together, Lord, and I've got to understand that this is only temporary. Everything I'm going through this life is just merely temporary. There is an eternal life that I'm headed for, Lord, and that is what I have to keep my focus upon. Someday, Lord, I'm going to stand before Your great and mighty throne, and I'm going to worship with the saints of old. I'm going to stand there with this guy named David. I'm going to listen to him play that harp, and I'm going to talk to Moses, and I'm going to, you know who I want to talk to? I want to talk to that little boy that gave his lunch up for all those people. I'm going to say, you know what? Dude, what they do, they didn't mug you. You gave up your mama's lunch? That blows my mind. When you read that, Jesus is doing all these crazy things. He's healing people and he's prophesying and he's reading people's hearts. He's doing this stuff. And these disciples are walking around and they're looking and they're trying to scope out who's got lunch. They find this little guy, man, and he gives up his lunch. I want to talk to that fella. Like, dude, seriously, you're awesome. David encouraged himself. That's what you and I need to learn how to do. We need to get a lot better and encourage ourselves and quit making our problem somebody else's problem. It's okay to share. We want that. But there's going to be times and there's nobody to share. So you're going to have to find the fortitude. And Jesus didn't leave us empty with this. He sent this thing called the Holy Spirit that's going to dwell within us. There's times when you've got to tap into the Holy Spirit. If I had time today, I would share with you out of the book of Joel about this Holy Spirit thing. But we're going to save that for another time. I want us to look at another character. People hate this character. We wish this character wasn't in the Bible. We wish that he wasn't there. Fellow by the name of Job. Please show me Job chapter 1. Bible says this. Job chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. And indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped.'" Look how this unfolds. These verses start off with this. And while he was yet speaking, or while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands. They raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 18. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine with the eldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four quarters of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. I don't know how you process data. It takes me a while to work through different things. My wife, I have such a wonderful wife, and she has learned over the years that whenever I come in from doing something, I have to go kind of through a transitional period. She is so gracious. She doesn't hit me up as soon as I walk through the door with, well, the kids are doing this, and this is this, and this bill's... She gives me time to come in and to kind of focus, relax, and then she introduces the kids are crazy, the bills are overdue, the furnace is breaking, the roof is leaking. You know, she has this just great wisdom. Because I don't deal, I have to process stuff. It takes me just a few minutes, and I'm sure that you're like that too. The Bible says this, while he was yet speaking, this comes in, and another message comes in. Job's mind must be in an absolute whirlwind, because Job is an extremely wealthy guy, extremely wealthy. Everything he has, you know, is just a great. And then all of a sudden, your livestock are gone, Job. This is gone. And then the shocker of it all. Your kids, Job. All your kids have been killed. You talk about shock and awe. This is shock and awe. I remember watching the movie Saving Private Ryan. There's a scene in that movie that takes place. And most of you here have probably seen the movie. It's been out for a number of years. I'm dating myself. It's an old movie now. But there was a scene in this movie where, let me give you a quick backdrop. The movie takes place during World War II. And this mother lives out in the country. By the looks of the movie, I'd say it's probably Kansas. And she's out, and she has four sons that have gone off to war on a foreign soil. By the way, veterans, happy Veterans Day. God bless you. We appreciate what you've done. Paid a tremendous price for our freedom. The freedom that we have, that we can come into houses of worship all across this nation, is because men and women have left their homes and have left their, you know, their dreams, and they have pursued military things, and they have protected our freedom. We don't take that lightly. Freedom is not free. It comes with a tremendous cost. And there are those paying that cost. These four men in Saving Private Ryan were paying that price. And so the mother is at the sink, and she's washing dishes. And like I said, it's World War II era, so you can imagine her dress, you know, and the apron. And all of a sudden, down the lane, dirt road, you see a little cloud of dust. And she looks out her window, and she understands it's a vehicle. There's a vehicle coming down the road. As the dust begins to clear and the vehicle gets closer, she looks at, and it's not just any vehicle. It's a military vehicle. It's an official-looking vehicle. It's not an old rusty truck. It's a sedan painted green. Pulls up in front of the house, and she walks out on the front porch, and she's nervous, and she's clutching her apron. And the military guy, general, some type of officer, walks up, and he's got an envelope. He don't have one envelope. He doesn't have two. He's got three envelopes. He begins to open those, and he begins to read those words that nobody wanted to hear. Mrs. Ryan, we regret to tell you that your son in war. Not one son, not two sons, three of her babies have gone off to war in a foreign land, and now she gets word that three of them have passed away, have died on a battlefield, one son remaining. And the impact of that, And she sinks to the ground under that, the weight of that. Shock and awe. Didn't prepare for this. That's the weight of it. That's how Job must have felt in even a greater measure. The word that no longer, you know, your camels and your sheep, Job, they're gone, and these are gone, and your servants are gone. But now, Job, the worst of the worst has happened. Your children are gone. I want you to see how Job responds to this. What a man of character he is. It says this. In verse 20, then Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and he worshiped. Wow. I mean, Job, you didn't shake your fist at God? You didn't get angry? And the Bible says that Job worshiped. We shouldn't confuse praise and worship. Two different things. Sometimes our praise is a happiness and glee, but sometimes worship comes with a cost. Sometimes worship is pouring it out and saying, God, I don't understand. Listen, I want to tell you this. Your questions, they don't upset God. He's a really big God. He put the universe in order. Your little questions doesn't confuse Him and set Him back. I think with earnest honesty, you can come before God and you can question God. And you can tell God, God, I don't understand why this is taking place. I don't understand why all this is happening. I don't understand, Lord, why somehow it seems like the evil is preying upon the innocent, Lord. I don't understand that stuff. Those questions are not too big for God. But in it all, God, You're still in charge. I still worship You. You're still on the throne. You still hold the reins to this world. You're still in the driver's seat. We haven't lost control of it. It hasn't gone off in the ditch. God, this is Your plan, and I'm with Your plan. I don't understand Your plan, God. I don't even like Your plan, God. I'm not happy about Your plan, God, but I understand You're still God. The last thing I want to share with you is this fellow named Moses. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 23, I used this part. Ryan last week did such a tremendous job. I appreciate what he does so much. And he preached out of this passage of Scripture. And so I thought, well, this I'll work with this, because Moses' life is one that was filled with different choices that he had to make, different responses. But if you make it to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, man, that's the pinnacle. That is the patriarchs of faith right there, man. And Moses, you did it, brother. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked toward the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses had a lot of choices in his life. He was raised in the household of Pharaoh. And there's different, I've done some study on this, and there's differing thoughts upon what his future held. There are some Bible scholars that believe that eventually he would have been in line to become Pharaoh. We're talking about the greatest position on the face of the earth. Other Bible scholars don't agree with that. They don't believe. Anyway, I think we can safely say He had it made. We can say that. He had the best that was offered him, the best education, military leadership, astrology. He had all this knowledge and stuff. And he had been groomed his whole life. He had been raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. And he had the best of food, the best of clothing, the best of everything. But he made a decision. The Bible says when he became of age, in other words, when he became great, he made this decision that he would rather suffer with the afflictions of the children, the Hebrew children, than he would to be called the son of Pharaoh. Wow, that's a heavy choice. That's a heavy choice. I meet people, and sometimes they use, you know, an excuse for their thought pattern or thought belief by how that they were raised. Hello? You have too. I have probably used that myself at times. You know, it's always good that, you know, it's not me. I was just brought up this way. I was just raised that way. But, you know, there comes a point as you mature, when you become of age, that you make your own thoughts and your own decisions, and you can look back on some of the stuff that how you were raised, and you can change your thought pattern. You can change some of those things. I'll take, for example, somebody that grows up in an alcoholic home. And this touches everybody, so everybody can can all identify with this. You're raised in a home where alcoholism is there. And you have two children that were raised there. One child would say, you know what, I grew up, and this is just how we did it. I mean, alcohol was always there. Every weekend, we drank. Every holiday, we threw a party. And so I grew up, and so naturally, I drink. Because that's how I was raised. That's all I ever seen. That's all I ever knew. I drank. Same person grows up in the very same household, and they can say this. You know what? I remember every weekend in our lives, Mom was drunk, Dad was drunk. Every holiday, somebody was getting drunk. I grew up with alcohol in the house. I grew up, that's all I ever seen. That's all I ever heard. So I ain't touching this stuff because I seen where it goes. Two people grew up in the same household, completely opposite points of view. One person says, well, you know, that's all I ever knew. The other person said, that's all I ever knew. There's a difference. It gets quiet sometimes, doesn't it? Pastor knows this all too well. That's where Moses grew up. Moses said, you know what? I grew up in this, but I'm not going to let that hinder me. I'm going to have to make decisions for myself now. The second thing he had to do, he had to leave the familiar. They go hand in hand. The Bible says that he left Egypt. Egypt, many times, is a symbolic of a past life. The children of Israel came out of bondage, which was Egypt. They came into the land of promise. Sometimes we have to leave Egypt. We have to leave that is familiar to go into the unfamiliar. This is a step of faith, friend. When you begin to walk with God, you understand it is a walk of faith. Now, I would like to have everything laid out before me. And I understand where this step is going to do this. But it's like walking on ice. You don't know that the ice is going to hold you, but you inch out, and you inch out. It's a walk of faith. And you begin to understand God's faith. God, faith in God. Paul said, His grace is sufficient for me. It becomes an everyday walk, an everyday step. And I don't know where it's leading, but I know who's leading me. That's where it goes. There are many today that are on mission fields. They never in their life dreamed that they would ever be in a mission field. But through a series of steps, trusting God, being led, being sensitive to God's direction in their life, they find themselves in these places. And they would tell you, quite frankly, I never in my life would ever dream that I would have a burden or a passion for this thing. But somehow I got into the presence of God and began to press in, began to seek Him. And He started showing me things. Or He just out of the blue just started giving me a burden for something. And I just kind of gravitated toward this thing. And next thing I know, I'm into it up to my elbows, man. And I love it. It's a passion of mine. The third thing that we see about Moses doing the unusual. He refused sinful pleasures. He left the familiar. Then he did the unusual. You understand that there was never a Passover until Moses came along, right? Can you imagine how crazy it is? Moses, what are you doing? Painting the doorways. You're doing what? I'm painting my doorways. Well, what are you painting with, Moses? It's the blood of a lamb. You're doing what? Yeah. God will have you do some things that just seem and feel so unusual. Moses told us that we're going to eat this roasted lamb. Tonight, guys, we're going to stand ready. And we're going to eat this roast. I mean, never was a Passover before. And all of a sudden, Moses come by and said, here's what we're going to do, guys. Here's our plan. We're going to do this. And do that. I mean, very unusual. And God, you began to seek him. You began to pursue him. God will have you do some pretty unusual things. I question on how we're going to end this, and the band's going to come back out. That last song we did, that Steady Heart, that song ministers to me so deeply. Again, things happen in our life, blind sizes. Several years ago, a friend of mine, like many of you here, he showed up for work like he always does, and they come to tell them, I don't know what day of the week it was, but they said beginning of next week, this plant's closed down. Where you know we're going to cash in any vacation that you have available, and you know there was no severance. You'll be eligible for unemployment. I mean, just out of the blue. And some of that has happened to some of you folks. And his wife, again, thank God for wives of wisdom. His wife told him, said, "Listen, you know we didn't see this coming, but God saw it coming." And God's going to prepare a way for us. Things happen in your life that you don't see coming. But it is a walk of faith. How we choose to react to those things, that's what's key. See, we have this veneer of humanity. This veneer of civility, and I'll even say a veneer many times of Christianity that is extremely thin. It doesn't take long to wear that off. When those things happen in life, a lot of times we find that the veneer is very thin and our trust begins to fail. Our trust begins to weaken. These guys are going to sing Steady Heart. Would you stand with us? Worship with this. Pay a very close attention to these words.
Now we give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this church. Bodies we can belong to. Remind us the difference between praise and worshiping you, God. God, lead us. You are faithful and you will lead us. God, just lead us every day, every step, and every direction that we take, God. We pray that it is you as we are making choices and decisions and moving forward, God. We pray that you are faithful and you will lead us, God. Take us forward where you will have us go. God, we give you all glory and honor and praise that is due your glorious name. We pray these things in your name, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few quick announcements for you guys before you get going. So go ahead, sit down. I take a while sometimes. Today is a very important, very special day. I've been talking about it for like 6 weeks or more. What is today? Thank you all, 7 of you. I know, it is Sunday. I'll give you that. But it is Operation Christmas Child Box Drop-Off Day. not dropping off children because we ain't shipping them. But no, turn in your shoeboxes today. We've got a table in the front. I know, you're like, what? No, it's the front of the church right there. We got a table up there.
Turn in your boxes to us. There is a $9 donation if you would like to give to help with the shipping for your box. That will be, turn it in with your box up there. If you forgot, if you're like, what, Ryan? I had no idea. First off, you didn't pay attention for like 6 weeks. All the posters, the signs, Facebook, that's your fault. I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you forgot, Wednesday, you can still turn it in. We will be here, and we are taking the boxes and delivering them Thursday. So, if you were like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot, or you're like, you know what, I want to do like 7 more boxes just this week. Awesome. Turn them in Wednesday. We'll send them out Thursday, so be prepared and ready for that. Also, this Tuesday is the Women of Worth meeting. There is a sign-up sheet in the little, you're like, Ryan, where are you pointing at right now? I don't know. I have to point when I talk. If you go out that door and turn right, there's a little like hallway area right outside the coffee room. That's where all of our sign-up sheets are. Go there if you are a woman. And there's a Women of Worth sign-up sheet. So if you want to sign up to bring some food or something, that meeting is this Tuesday, the 14th at 6:30. So check that out. That's always a good time. And then a couple more things. I've got a few things on my list here, so be ready for them. The Hope Has Risen dinner. Hope Has Risen is an organization that our church has partnered up with that basically celebrates the hope of those recovering, coming out of addiction. There's a lot of issues and problems in the world and in our city here, and we want to celebrate those who are turning their lives around. So that's what Hope Has Risen is. And November 20th at 6:30 will be the Hope Has Risen Thanksgiving dinner. If you want to be here, be a part of it, donate food, anything along those lines. If you have like non-perishable foods, like don't bring us a turkey early, because it ain't going to last. But if you have food that will last and you can bring it early, go ahead and bring it. You can bring it next Sunday or on Monday. Please see Amanda. Amanda, raise your hand. That's Amanda, everybody. You see Amanda if you have any questions. I'm sure there's a sign-up sheet for that one as well. But that will be on November 20th is the Hope Has Risen Thanksgiving dinner. And then my last couple announcements. Oh, sign-up sheet. There are more sign-up sheets. I know. You're like, what? Ryan, you're asking me to sign up for like everything. There's a reason for that. Because you guys are great at signing up for stuff. All right. When you go down to pick up your kids, drop off your kids, and you see where you get your little tags for your kid, prints out, you got your stickers, right next to that is a sign-up sheet for the Children's Christmas Program. Boom. Living Water Kids. There's a sign-up sheet downstairs for that. Our Christmas programs are awesome. I love everything they do every year because they always knock it out of the park. So there's a sign-up sheet down there. Sign up your kids because they do practice on Sundays. They go through the songs and the skits and stuff that they do on Sundays. So please sign your kids up so we know if they will be able to be here for the Christmas program. And that sign-up sheet is right where you check in your kids. And then December 2nd from 2 to 4, we're having cookies with Santa. Wow, that did not go over. That was like, woo, yeah, all right. You guys are like, Ryan, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Don't talk to me about Christmas. Well, we got to plan things ahead of time. So December 2nd from 2 to 4, bring your kids, your grown-up kids, your uncle that just really likes Santa, bring them. And we're having cookies with Santa on December 2nd from 2 to 4. So that's always a good time. Kids love Christmas. I love Christmas. December 2nd from 2 to 4. That's going to be here. And then next week, we talked about it already. Chancey talked about it a little bit. PJ is going to be back. He's going to be in the saddle again with us. So welcome him when he's here. And what time does our service start?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Cool. I ain't going to call anybody out, but our service starts at 10 a.m. So be here. Be ready. PJ is going to be here. Any other announcements, just check the bulletin board or we'll post something on Facebook and you see it online. You guys have a good week. We'll see you.